The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Spurs Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow and Grant Sachs and Jamie Brown of Last Word on Spurs. Gents, so close and yet so far away. You've had a week to digest that Champions League final defeat to Liverpool. How did you feel at the time?
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously very disappointing that we didn't even manage to score. I think that was gutting that we didn't get that one chance of going mad in celebrating a Champions League final goal. So that was very disappointing. But it was so tough. We really put ourselves very much on the back foot after conceding after just 24 seconds. It was a very, very poor start. I mean, we just seemed so nervous, and it was kind of a catalogue of errors that kind of so quickly led to that penalty being given away. Yeah, a very harsh penalty which was given away as well. So a lot of controversy surrounding that. But yeah, unfortunately, a very disappointing evening.
Well, I hate to say, I mean, it was all going so well. And in 26 seconds, it felt like the dream was potentially about to be crushed. But looking back at the game, I just feel that with Liverpool themselves, I mean, they didn't actually play at their best, in my opinion. And I just felt as if for some reason we could never kind of gain a rhythm in the game. Again, defensively, I'd say we played well in the midfield. We defended well as well. We helped out the back four. And just that final third, I just think we really, really struggled just to penetrate Liverpool and find a way just to hurt them or cause them a bit of trouble.
Obviously, you've had time now to digest your emotions, to digest what happens. I don't know if you've had the stomach to watch the highlights back. Do you feel any differently now?
Not particularly. I mean, I feel as though this game was a great learning curve for the club in terms of something that we can now build upon. It's a great experience. The whole club, in terms of us as supporters and the people in the club, will have learned so much from the whole experience. So it's such a positive experience. It's such a shame. Of course, it's such a massive shame that we've lost the game. But I think that this is going to be a massive, invaluable lesson for us. And I'm sure it'll be a very important lesson for Pochettino as well.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I mean, if you look back, again, I think I said this on last week's show, going out at the point of the FA Cup, the League Cup, you'd have said the season's over. We knew we was in a fight for fourth. Who would have dreamed making it even past the quarterfinals, past Man City? But again, we had a memorable journey. We'll never forget those great memories. Moura's late goal. It was a special occasion, but unfortunately didn't have the fairy tale ending.
You just hope that we can now build upon this in the summer. Yeah. It's a massive summer now for Spurs in terms of who we're going to bring in. It looks as though there's kind of now a real rebuilding project for Pochettino in his hands. And for us to have been in a Champions League final, it shows the capacity of where we can go.
Fantastic,
so
yeah.
I think for players that perhaps are looking at Spurs to join Spurs, the likes of Lo Celso and Dombele, who we're obviously, of course, looking at, they're going to be knowing that Spurs are a Champions League finalist. So I think that's going to make us an attractive proposition.
Is the loss more frustrating for the fact that, if we're honest, Liverpool were far from at their best?
Yeah, it was very disappointing because, I mean, the one thing I say about Liverpool is that defensively they were absolutely outstanding.
They were,
The likes of Van Dijk, I mean, wow, what a player. I mean, I think a lot of people are now saying that he's even in contention for the Ballon d'Or, which is like just amazing.
As a centre-half.
Last one by Cannavaro in 2007 after Italy won the World Cup.
There you go. I mean, that's a great stat there. And then, of course, you've got the likes of Alisson in goal, who's been a real sensation this season.
And
before the show, we were talking about the two fullbacks, and we remember the times of when we had Walker and Rose bombing up there. You know, they've now got Alexander-Arnold and Robertson, so it shows you what a fantastic fullback partnership can do for you.
It does. I mean, I was saying again, I think as well we were saying last week, it was potentially quite worried about obviously players like Sadio Mane, Mo Salah. Again, we defended. I felt with most spells we defended really, really well.
Yeah.
I remember times when Liverpool did break at us and we managed to hold that back four line really, really well.
Yeah.
But it was just, it just never felt like, again, as a Jay as well before, again, with our wing backs, again, we really struggled. We couldn't really afford to get forward as much as them because we knew we couldn't get back. But again, when we did have the chances in that final third, we wasn't as clinical, really wasn't. And obviously, it's a tough one. You could say, was Harry fit or did Van Dijk just have another amazing game? It's so hard to know.
Yeah.
But one that you've got to say, Liverpool, they deserved it and they're fantastic Champions League champions.
Yeah, I think on Kane, a lot of people was debate whether he was fit. Look, they would have made a sensible decision. There would have been specialists giving them advice on whether he is fit. So I don't think there's too much concern about whether Harry Kane was fit. I think he would have been fit for the game. And he's lasted 90 minutes as well.
I think we all felt bad for, I mean, any other team with Lucas were playing, but again, it was such a hard run for Pochettino to make, so we'll have to fight on another day.
There were some, I hasten to add, non-Spurs fans on Twitter suggesting that Harry Kane was massively selfish. Basically saying that Harry Kane deliberately pretended to be fit to give himself a chance of personal glory at the expense of his teammates. What do you make of that?
No, I think that's rubbish, really.
I think we all know Harry is a stand-up guy, and I think he's a type of guy. If there was a problem, he would say, guys, look, it's a Champions League final. I think everybody would want to play in it. But I think Harry's a type of guy that would make the right decision based on the club. He loves Tottenham. Sure. He's a Tottenham boy himself. He wouldn't play a game knowing he's not anywhere near fit. And, well, it was always hard for Pochettino to make, and there was always going to be critics, should he not? So, regardless, there was always going to be people going at him for that decision.
Mm. It wasn't just Kane who went missing. We didn't see a standout performance from any of Tottenham's star men. Why not? Are they not good enough? Are they not capable of performing on the biggest occasions?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I look at, we had a three-week break, and I don't know, obviously Liverpool had the same, but I think we saw it where we had a two-week break between Dortmund and Burnley. And of course, we had a fantastic result against Dortmund. And then we went and lost to Burnley. And that shows you that these players have kind of struggled to adjust in that over that break. I know one thing that Liverpool did is that they played Benfica's B-side. And they really got them. They got Benfica B to replicate the way Spurs play, and we didn't do anything like that. And I think that maybe, as I said, we use this as a learning curve, and I'm sure Perez and Pochettino will be learning from that.
I mean, I was going to say, I mean, if you look back I mean, it's very, very hard to fault the way we try to play against them. I think we tried our best, but as I said, there was always the worry that if we go two guns blazing, they all come at us, Liverpool. That was the worry. And look, I believe that, as I said, Liverpool played their B-side. I believe Pochettino, definitely in training, was pushing Tottenham's their lengths, trying to make them play a way where they know Liverpool could have hurt us. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we focused on how Liverpool could have done that to us.
Talking of teams in pursuit of silverware, England currently in action in their Nations League semi-final against Holland. The Dutch playing some fairly tidy football, it has to be said. Still 0-0 in Portugal. Who do you fancy for this game?
Go on, Jay.
Yeah, it's two very exciting teams. The Holland have got some very exciting players, the likes of Van Dijk and De Ligt.
Bergwijn is on the pitch, by the way, who Spurs have been quite heavily linked with.
Yeah, and then, of course, they've got the likes of Donny van der Beek as well, and De Jong. So there's some very exciting players from their team. England, of course, Sterling, Rashford and Sancho in attack. That's certainly a trio you'd fancy to score some goals.
Yeah, I believe. Looking at this game, I think England. We can definitely get something here. I mean, again, like I said, it takes a bit of a team like this, Holland, with the type of players they've got, a bit of a game plan in mind. Go it the right way. Harry's on the bench, so he can come on and score two. So let's wait and see. Come on, England.
Do you take this seriously as a competition? And I ask that question, by the way, as we see a pink-haired Ryan Barbour head wide from... Well, we'll call it
beige
pink.
Red or...
pinkish red, crimson, possibly. Is this real international silverware on the line?
I think it's nice to see this. I mean, at this point of the season, it's usually done, the football, and there's nothing to watch. But I believe also, I can't remember what part it was at this season when the Nations League was on. It was quite tasty. I thought it was quite tasty. Something to watch, that enjoy, instead of these friendlies that are quite dull when you see a kind of England B team.
But if England win it, are you going to be genuinely believing that this is the first competitive trophy we've won since 1966. I will be.
No, I don't think so, but there is certainly some, as we said, the likes of Portugal are a very good side as well, and Holland are a very good side. So there's certainly some talented sides in this competition. Mm. And if we can get past the likes of those teams, then I think that shows that certainly the future of the English football is looking very bright.
Definitely.
Absolutely. I've just been asked by my producer, how has Ryan Bubble gone through an entire year with no one telling him his hair looks rubbish? Well, Ryan, we're telling you now.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and Jamie Brown and Grant Sachs of Last Word on Spurs. Gents, talk to me about Christian Eriksen. What on earth is going on?
Yeah, he's very disappointed at the moment. He's obviously come out and said that he's looking for a new challenge. I think that's very disappointing. That look, for me, he's kind of a player that I think he's on his day is a sensational player, but I think over the last few months he's kind of been off the colour a bit, and he really hasn't been the same player. For me, I don't know. I kind of feel as though it's time for maybe to look into reinvest the money we can get from him back into other areas of the squad. So,
yeah. I mean, me and Jay said exactly the same thing outside. Where, I mean, if you look at what Liverpool done last, well, I think the season or the season before with Coutinho, where they had to let a world class player go, but they was very, very, very wise in who they bring in. And again, we can do that. There's no reason why we can't go out there, look at the market. I mean, whoever Pochettino has brought in, I mean, look at his last signing, Lucas. That just sums it up. Yeah. Look who Pochettino last brought in. He knows who's a quality player and who can fit in his team and what will work and what will gel, absolutely.
Well, I think there's a clear need for sort of a Tottenham 2.0 at Spurs.
Absolutely.
And there's some very...
Just a bit of fresh blood, possibly, in this team.
And you have to feel as though you have to move a big name on potentially to be able to fund that. I don't think Spurs have the funds, but alone to go and buy the sort of calibre players that would push us on. So I think it's always about sacrificing one.
Do you resent Eriksen's behaviour this week?
I mean, there was a rumour that he came out 10 days before the final, actually, and then he announced it, which would be quite upsetting to hear that. But at the same time, it's been going around for a couple of years now with Christian. The option's there. He can always go on and move to a Real Madrid or a PSG. But again, at the same time, he's been a very, very good servant. And in times of struggle, he has got us through. I remember when Pochettino first took over, then we obviously fought through that period of getting into the Champions League. If you get into that Champions League base, Eriksen obviously was pivotal in regards to that. So I think most Tottenham fans would always respect whatever Christian has done for the club, absolutely.
I think he's been so key for us over the recent years in getting us to where we are. And it's clear that he's always had this plan in his head of moving to one of the two big clubs in Spain. And of course, some of the stats, I think a lot of people as well are criticising him maybe of, is he lacking effort? Is his head been turned? I think that's rubbish, because if you look at the way that Toby Alderweireld was treated last season, Pochettino had kind of got the sense that maybe he'd kind of had his head turned.
Yeah.
You know, he was immediately dropped, but Eriksen, he's stuck him in the side, and
he's not really had any other choice, though. Yeah. I mean, even if he wanted to drop Eriksen, could he?
It's a hard one, isn't it? I mean, who would you be able to bring in that can give you that quality to feed a ball through the back four or produce an amazing pass? Not a lot of our players in our team. Some of them have a good passing, but have that ability.
Yeah. I mean, here's some stats from Christian Eriksen in terms of since his debut season, he ranks first for the most chances created in the competition, the most assists, the most goals from outside the box, and the most direct free kicks scored. So, certainly going to be a player we'll miss if he does go.
That's the thing.
And Grant, we've got serious action in the Nations League.
We've just seen, Rashford's just been taken out by the lit.
It is a penalty.
It's an all-day penalty. He's just nicked in front of him. It's a stonewall penalty, absolutely.
It's fantastic forward play. They're racing for the same ball. Effectively doesn't realise quite how quick Marcus
not the
Rashford
first time.
Is.
It's not the first time we've seen Dalit on the floor, which is quite a nice sight. But there you go.
Yeah, Rashford just gets a foot in ahead of him.
Yeah.
Just touches the ball as he gets clattered by the big Dutch centre-half. Mm. It's a penalty for England. The ball is being laid on the spot. Quite a big goal, this, in the history of English football.
For a player like Marcus.
Young Marcus Rashford.
Put your name in the highlights there, Marcus.
Well, listen, he's had the responsibility of taking an important penalty already this season. He took one for Manchester United against PSG that was absolutely huge for his domestic side. He's up, of course, against Jasper Cillessen, who hasn't really got into his club team at Barcelona. He's looking for a move this summer. Cillessen looking very, very relaxed, laughing and joking with the referee as Rashford steps back from the ball, ready to strike. It has been quite a long wait, this, for the Englishman to take it. Can he do it? Cillessen again, tapping the crossbar, looks every bit the composed shot stopper, but Rashford looks cool. He looks calm, he looks collected, and he looks ready to take the kick. He's running up. Come on, Marcus.
There you go.
Cool as you like. Come on, England. Waits for Cillessen to move. Rolls the ball the other way. James Gray of the James Gray Show is going absolutely ballistic through the glass into the production suite. It is coming home.
It's coming home.
And now suddenly, the Nations League feels like a really important competition.
We've always said that it's one of the
biggest. Never said a bad word about it.
It's bigger than the World Cup, isn't it, lads?
Exactly.
And you'd have to say, De Ligt, we've just seen the challenge again, rated as the finest young centre-half in world football. That is a terrible challenge.
That is not great. I mean, that one there, he's completely torn Rashford out there. But, yeah, we're 1-0 up. So, come on, England.
Come on, England. Well, it's quite something. We were talking just a moment ago, of course, about Christian Eriksen. Is he irreplaceable?
I think he's certainly a player that Spurs can replace. There's no doubt in his quality. Absolutely no doubt in his quality. But I think he's always had an issue with his consistency. And I think that's one big thing that's perhaps let him down. But I do think he is potentially replaceable. I know that one player we're looking at, Lo Celso, he looks like a very good player and someone that could potentially step in and to replace him. But yeah, I think that there is a chance that he could be replaced. Yeah,
I mean, I think out of the seasons Christian's been here, again, he's been phenomenal in them and all of them, but I felt this season it's kind of, people saying that this season they felt his head may have already been turned this year just due to the lack of possibly the goals or the creativity, the assists. But look, I believe he's replaceable if you get the right type of player in, someone similar. But again, as everyone keeps saying, we need just that two or three players to come in to improve the team. We've got to be wise in this transfer window who we get in. I mean, me and Joe has had the discussion of right back, centre attacking, midfielders. Who do we get in? We just need that extra person, that bit of quality to come in, and we've still got an amazing team without Christian.
Yeah, there's certainly other areas in the squad that we can look to improve with that money, and we've seen how Liverpool managed to go and reinvest it in different areas. Well, with like Coutinho, they went and got a centre back and a goalkeeper, so it shows you it can be done. And we just got to be sensible with how we do it.
Would you look for a like-for-like replacement for Eriksen, or would you look to replace his influence?
Well, it's a hard one. I mean, if I look back, the players have been linked with this, obviously the Ngai Ndombele. He's a bit of a powerhouse in the midfield. But the thing is, with Christian, if we do lose him, we're going to miss that kind of picking of the lock, kind of pass out of nothing, making something. So you do want to kind of get someone along the right lines. But I mean, I don't want to go mad on this Giovincio Lo Celso. Looking at him, I don't want to do the haunted idea of looking at clips and then judging him on that, but he would look like kind of a player with like-for-like abilities, which Christian does have.
So Lo Celso, it seems like a versatile player, can sort of play in the number 10 and number 8 role. So obviously a player like that would give you kind of different options. For me, I think that Pochettino is going to look at perhaps playing two up front and then one behind him and then three central midfielders. Kind of what he's been going for most of the season. So perhaps Ali might be the guy to step in at 10.
Talking of Dele Alli, England, of course, are in action against Holland in the Nations League semi-final as we see a sprawling Jordan Pickford make a smart save from the terrible haircut of Ryan Bubble from quite some distance. England still lead, and as things stand, it'll be Harry Kane's England against Cristiano Ronaldo's Portugal in the final in Portugal.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Grant Sachs and Jamie Brown of the Daily Hotspur. We've had a caller into the show on 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number as well. We're joined by Adrian, who's calling in from Edmonton. Adrian, what's your take on Christian Eriksen?
Well, he's a hard act to follow, isn't he? He scored 49 goals in 206 Premier League games, and he's made 60 assists. There aren't any players on this planet that can do that, I don't think, out there. I think Spurs are looking for... They'll have to play a different style, sort of a more dynamic midfield player, ball player than Eriksen.
Sorry, Adrian, obviously you're just saying that about Christian Stature. Right, he has been phenomenal for us, but again, I don't think the loss of Christian would mean we've got to transform the whole way we play and the way we go forward. Again, we've still got that bit of creativity there with Dele, and obviously potentially who we bring in, absolutely. Obviously who knows we're going to bring in yet, but with the players we've got there, we don't need to change our whole method, surely, going forward.
No, I think we'd have a more dynamic midfield, because even though Eriksen's got fantastic stats, at some times, he hasn't looked in the game. He's popped up with a goal and an assist, and he's looked pretty flat. And you wonder if there was a ball player with a bit more energy, perhaps we'd do even better. I don't know.
Adrian, who would be your choice? Just out of roughly, who are out of the players in the market you'd get in and say you'd like for
like,
possibly?
Players coming up due to financial fair play. I now hear that Isco's up for grabs. You know, I mean, obviously, Lo Celso, I've watched him. He looks good. I've watched videos of him. I've watched videos of... There's a guy called Gedson Fernandes. I don't know if you've heard of him.
I've heard of him. Yeah.
You know,
is it Gedson Fernandes or Bruno Fernandes? Or both? There are two. They're both very good.
Okay.
I've seen Spurs linked with Bruno Fernandes.
Sporting Lisbon.
Would you like the other one as well, Adrian?
I wasn't impressed yesterday with Bruno Fernandes or the superstar young kid for Portugal.
João Félix.
Yeah.
He's a player.
If you guys get a chance to look at Gedson Fernandes, I mean, he looks a cracking player. Yeah.
He's more wide than Bruno, isn't he?
Yeah, but he loves to drive forward, you know. Forward.
I think Spurs could potentially do with another one of them. I mean, Lamela, obviously, we're looking at his injury record, and you've got to have a... When Lamela is not good enough to get into the starting 11, he's a squad player, and when he's not even available to us, then he's really becomes very pointless. So I think he's certainly someone that we should be looking
And strikers, upgrade. Maxi Gomez, Asensio.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if we can get any of these boys, I mean, I'd be over the moon. But we'll have to wait and see.
Here's one for you, Adrian. Just a last one for you. If you lose Eriksen and you sign Lo Celso and Ndombele with that money, you've done very well, haven't you?
I think the two Setignon brothers are a cert for Spurs. And the good thing is that Ryan plays all the way down the left. And his brother's gone a bit under the radar at the moment. But he was back for England before his career's sort of been stunned by injuries and all that. So I think those pair... I'd like the two midfielders and the Setignon brothers. I'd be happy with that. But obviously we need a striker.
Wonderful stuff, Adrian. Thank you for your call. Adrian getting in touch from Edmonton there on 0208 7020 558. That's the number if you'd like to do the same. I always feel sorry for the second Sessegnon because they're twins. And I'm a twin and my brother and I have never been that competitive. But I think if he were a top level footballer being linked with a move to Spurs and I was still in mostly Fulham's youth teams, I find it quite hard to take.
There you go. Ask Yaya Toure and Kolo Toure. I think they're the exception. They've both won big trophies.
Yeah, and Kolo, of course, did have his years of dominance before Yaya broke through. In terms of potential exit, we heard about Sessegnon there, who we'll come on to in a moment. Of course, he'd be coming in probably at left wing back. Fullback is a problem area for Spurs. We touched on this a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Are players leaving from those areas?
Yeah, look, I think the guys obviously at right back, that's certainly the area that we need to be targeting. For me, I desperately want a new right back brought in. I think it's been unfair on Trippier and Aurier this year because I think that what they've lacked is someone being the first choice and them keep chopping and changing doesn't allow them to get consistency to their game. So I think for both of them, it's been hard this year. Of course, Trippier was at the World Cup and had a very long summer and then come straight back into the team. So I do feel for them a bit, but ability-wise, I'm not quite sure they're what we need. So perhaps I'd even look to get rid of both of them.
I think, especially Trippier, I think, a couple of years ago, we had Kyle Walker, obviously, who was always the first choice, and Trippier was kind of his understudy, so there was always that push there. I need to fulfil that right-back place, whereas now, with the likes of Aurier and Trippier, it's kind of a flip a coin.
Yeah.
That's the kind of how it's been with them, so you really don't know who would be the the perfect right-back for us at the minute. So I think Jay was saying, he thinks, in his opinion, that would be the first place, one of the first ones we go out and really look to expand on this summer.
Yeah, and then of course got Kyle Walker-Peters.
Do you think Poch trusts him?
We were saying this, I'm not fully convinced he does, but he's played him in certain games and I have quite liked him. He's 22 now, so he's kind of got to that age where you think, you know,
he's going to push through, but he
just hasn't. And of course he had that bit of that nightmare spell at Barcelona. Perhaps he is the guy that might be the guy that pushes on the new right back, but certainly right back's the first area that I'd look to improve.
What about Toby Alderweireld? We've heard so much about him all season. There is going to be this clause. Is he going?
Well, it's a difficult one. I was having this conversation over there actually with a friend of mine, with Toby. He's one of them players, in my opinion. He is kind of at that elite stage of a centre half, and he's one of them players you can't really replace. But if we were to lose him, that would be a really hard one. If it's a choice of just sell Eriksen or do you sell Toby, I think maybe people will probably push and say let Eriksen go and we'll keep Toby because he is that good a centre half for us.
Are you going to have a choice? I don't think you're going to have that luxury. It's a really
odd situation because Toby's making all the right noises that he's going to sign a new deal, but he just hasn't. And it's going to come to a point where it's going to be that final 2 weeks of the transfer window when that £25 million pound release clause is going to be become active and someone's going to pay it because that's nothing for a player that quality. So, look, he needs to now stop talking and sign the contract if he's going to do it. But
this isn't complicated, is it? He puts pen to paper on a deal. If he wants to stay, why is it not happening?
I think with Toby, again, it's just like Christian, I hate to say it, it's as if there's that move out there to a Real Madrid, a PSG or a Barcelona, where he knows he's guaranteed probably league titles every season. Mereloni's guaranteed a Champions League trophy, we don't know. But again, with Toby, we'd love him to stay and we wouldn't want a replacement. We want Toby to stay at Tottenham.
Yeah, it's odd though, looking around at where he could go because there just doesn't seem to be many takers on him at the moment. I mean, even Manchester United were the team strongly linked with him. But there just doesn't seem, you know, United perhaps aren't, I think with the new guy from Swansea they're signing today, they've kind of been going down a different route now. So they're kind of
Daniel James.
Daniel James, that's the one.
Kids from below.
So I think that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's never been convinced by Alderweireld and it's just odd. There just doesn't seem to be any clubs interested.
Yeah, I mean, has the limelight gone of the idea of go to Manchester United? It's Manchester United. Well, not in a river. They're not in Europe. So why would Toby go? We are in a better position than them at the moment. So why is he not drop down a peg? The only reason I hate to say it would be for money, or unless he's got this idea. It's Manchester United. And it's Manchester United.
That's the other thing, is that I don't think there's actually any clubs interested in him that are above our level, so it's certainly, I don't think it would be ambition-driven.
Do you think what that means is that Spurs really need to think about improving their reputation, absolutely, their stature in the game? Because, as you rightly say, where you are as a footballing team, United are not ahead of you, but there might still be that drag.
Well, look, this is why we've got to look at Saturday as such a positive experience. It shows that kind of that's the level that we're capable of reaching, and something that we can certainly build upon. We've got fantastic facilities as well in terms of the new stadium and the new training ground. So there's certainly a lot to be attracted to Spurs. So,
I think this is at the point where Tottenham know of all summers, with the stadium set now for the new season, we've got that fresh year in it now to go ahead. This is the season where we push on, we make a statement in this transfer window, whether it's signing up these players to long-term deals, whether it's going out there and getting the players that we need to push us on to that next stage.
Mm. Well, Tottenham certainly do still present an appealing prospect. They're being linked to players left, right and centre. And coming up, let's talk about a few of those potential targets.
This is Love Sport.
Those of you who are watching Love Island will know it's very difficult to recover from rejection and go straight back to the same person and try again. But could Mauricio Pochettino be set to do just that? He was soundly beaten down by Jack Grealish last summer. He came up to him and said, "Jack, I want to couple up with you." Jack said, "No, I prefer Dean Smith." Could Mauricio try it again this summer?
Well, I was going to say, can Pochettino couple up with either Toby or Eriksen? Is that the choice? I'll have a couple up with Toby or a couple up with Christian. That'd be the plan. Obviously, Pochettino, again, from what we know, he's got this big transfer budget. That's the rumour now. He's got the Champions League money. Again, we finished in the top four, so you get money for that. He's got the options now to go out there, and I'd like to think to choose the type of player he wants. As I'm sure, I'm pretty sure at that point where Daniel We don't let anybody interfere, and Mauricio has the choice of what type of player can improve us.
Yeah, well, I certainly think there's going to be that sort of base there of about £80 million from kind of the Champions League money. And this is where I think to create a Tottenham 2.0 as such, I think you've got to look to get rid of, you know, I think you have to sacrifice one of the big names. And for me, that is Eriksen. I think you look at Son, just not a player you'd want to be selling. Harry Kane. And Eriksen, I think he's at that situation where he does, it's kind of the time to move on. It's a year left on his deal. So I think it's the right time to maybe depart with him. And I think that that's going to give us the sort of money that we need to go and buy the players that we want. I think the two, as Johnny mentioned, Dombele and Lo Celso, I mean, they just look absolutely quality. And they're sort of in the same positions that we need. So I think it's sensible.
How good is Jack Grealish?
Oh, with Jack, again, he is absolutely loved by the Villa fans, and he's incredible. I mean, he hasn't really pushed into the England team just yet. I mean, if Grealish was to come, again, I'm assuming, again, I think I said this last week, the similar guy called Jack Clark, he'd kind of be the same promise with Dele, where you'd hope he'll kind of, I don't know if he'll flourish as quickly as Dele did. But
different money, though. I mean, Jack Clark, you're looking at 20. Grealish, you're looking at 50, 60.
The other important thing to note with those sort of players, they're homegrown as well, so it's important. Yeah. Jack Clark, for me, he's the one guy that I'd love to get in.
Just really?
I watched a bit of Leeds last year, and looked a really good player. I think he's 18 or 19, a younger player. Jack Grealish, I think he's not a player that I'd certainly not turn my nose up at. He's a sort of similar position that we need, as I've said, a central midfielder.
Do you think he'll leave Villa?
Well, I was going to say, he's shown a lot of respect to the way he comes out and conducts himself very, very well. So you can tell what type of guy you're going to get there for a start. Would he leave Villa? I mean, they're in the Premier League now, so I'm sure he'd love to. I think, in my opinion, I can't see us getting him, but I think he'll love to have that one season, at least with Villa, in the Premier League, to see what he can do with him. And obviously, after that, his options probably most likely will be wide open to who he can go to, possibly.
It's going to be, it surprised me that he was 23. I thought he was younger than that. So, you know, he's going to be pushing on 24, 25 next year. So
I feel like he's one of those players who gets the benefit of being talked about as this young talent. He's like Theo Walcott, who was 17 in our collective consciousnesses, even when he was 27.
Maybe if he would have, I mean, he's been in the Championship with Villa, I think, about two, three years now. So maybe he's too good for that division. He has shone really well in that. So, but I mean, again, a lot will show in the Premier League. We've seen it with a lot of players. I mean, Sessegnon for Fulham, he didn't really stand out as everybody hoped at the beginning of the last season. So we'll see how good he is. Definitely the season coming up, that's for sure.
I think you've also got to remember that they'll be coming in to work under a coach like Pochettino. I think that's what makes him such a great manager, that he just seems to be so brilliant at coaching these players. And obviously, I think Jack Grealish and Ryan Sessegnon are the two players with huge potential. I think Grealish, kind of when he first burst onto the scene, he was a massive talent. Seems to have lost his way a bit, but you know, you wonder what a player like that could do under a coach like Pochettino. And I think that's exactly the same with Ryan Sessegnon. It's such a massive potential there, and I'd like to see him under Poch.
Do you think if you get Sessegnon, you'll play him in his best position?
Well, again, Danny Rose has come out of the blue again and been fantastic. I'd say towards the end of this season, we've got the Danny Rose that we had about 2 years ago, not the one we had from the last year. So Rose has been fantastic. He played quite well, I think, in the final. So I mean, if we get him in, it'd be brilliant, and it'll be a good fight on your hands for a left wing back. That's for sure.
Yeah, is he more of a winger though?
Here's the thing. I think that a player like that, if you've got that sort of versatility, it's fantastic to have in your squad. I think, as I've mentioned, Lamella's sort of a player that maybe we need to look to replace, and he is a forward, Ryan Sessegnon, so it kind of gives you that option. It gives you the possibility to play five at the back. Of course, Poch has showed that he's favoured that a couple of times, and I really believe that Ryan Sessegnon could make a fantastic left wing back. So potentially that there's that, and left back, I don't see him ever playing left back, because I think you've got two very solid options there in Danny Rose and Ben Davies. I think Davies, he certainly divides opinions amongst supporters, but he's an important player to have, because he can play in that at back three and as another centre-back option.
So. Yeah, he's not a bad player, Ben Davies. I'd say he's warranted his place to still be at Tottenham Hotspur. Yeah.
The issue, if Spurs do let the likes of Trippier and Rose go, is, as you pointed out, Jamie, these guys are homegrown. Mm. It's massively important to get players in who fill that quota. With that in mind, here's a name for you, James Maddison.
Yeah, I do like a lot of James Maddison. I mean, a lot of people say that's your number. A lot of people say that's my number. In my opinion, a lot of people say that would be their number one. Would we get Maddison in again? Pochettino, imagine the work he would do for him. He'd really focus on his game, and I could see him improving him as a player. That's for sure.
We had Brian Statham on the station only earlier. He was saying that Spurs should be giving everything to sign Maddison.
I've got to say, absolutely not.
Why not?
If we honestly replace Christian Eriksen with James Maddison. Then I really wouldn't blame Pochettino for going. He had a fantastic start to the season, and I'm not fully convinced by Maddison, and certainly the £60 million fee that's been quoted around. You know, and that's what they're going to ask for, because that's what he's worth to them. That certainly turns me off him. And I'm not fully convinced that he's kind of the player. Certainly not the person to come in and replace Eriksen.
He created the most chances of any player, bar none, in the Premier League last year.
Sign him. I think the thing is as well, the worry is that players like these Maddisons, these Zahas, they're not. I'm not in a rude way to these players. I don't think they're worth these ridiculous transfer fees that they're being offered. That's the problem. They're not really going to be going for the right fees. If Maddison was out there and going for probably around the £20 million, £25 million, well, that would make more sense to get him in. But you're paying £70 million for a player like him. Not in a rude way. He's a very good young upcoming, but you don't think he's at that fee yet to deserve that.
I agree with you completely, because I look at almost every transfer fee now and think, what? Yeah. So do we perhaps just need to realign what we consider a large transfer fee?
That's
because it feels like we're getting to a point now where 40 is the baseline for a good footballer.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I do think that still, even £60 million for a player like Maddison is just still absolutely just insane.
It's insane money.
I don't think we can reevaluate in a situation like that, because
so maybe we need to accept that now the £60 million is now the new £30 million. That's what it is now. This doesn't go at that value. These players are in this mad market where they go at these fluctuating prices, and that is just how it sits now.
Yeah, our producer points out a very important thing, which is that English players are a lot more expensive. You play a premium, not because just they play for England and we're all proud and it's coming home and England are still 1-0 up against Holland in their Nations League semi-final, but precisely because they are homegrown. You look at any homegrown player who could play Premier League football. Jonjo Shelvey, say, pick one out of thin air. You pay £15 million quid as a baseline for a Premier League footballer who counts as homegrown.
Just trying to think where Jonjo Shelvey is now. You saying that?
Newcastle.
He's still there.
If we look at the signings that Bournemouth are making, they pay 15-odd mil for Dom Solanke, who's barely played Premier League football. They played 20-odd mil for Jordan Ibe, who is rubbish. These guys are English, and therefore they cost a lot.
I think if you look, there's Jack Clark, £20 million. So I think it shows that it can be done. And I have forgotten the name of the Swansea guy again.
Daniel James plays for Chelsea.
That's the one. You know, and he's £20 million up fee. So it shows you that it can be done, finding them in the Championship and the like. So
there you go. Yeah, I was going to say maybe it's taking the idea of going into the Championship and going into League One and finding these players instead of. I mean, the problem is it's kind of like Maddison now, his value's gone up so high, whereas it'd been great a couple of years ago, we would have noticed him before.
Why are you happy with 60-odd million for Lo Celso but not for Maddison?
I think he's kind of proved himself at a higher level. I think
in
the Europa League and in the Spanish League, I think he certainly proved himself as a very good player. I think he scored 16 goals this season from midfield. I don't think the James Maddison transfer makes sense. I don't think it's a guy that Pochettino would be comfortable with Spurs spending that sort of money on. Lo Celso, of course, Argentinian, so and right age. So it kind of shows you that's the sort of player that Poch would be looking at. So.
Yeah, I mean, I like the look of Lo Celso. From what we've seen of him clips-wise, he looks like a good player, looks like he'd fit into us. But again, you're always taking the risk of players coming over and not fitting in. Look at players like Jorginho for Chelsea. Really hasn't worked out great for him in the middle of midfield. Yeah. And again, he was he had a raving reviews from Italy when he was going to come over. Yeah. So you're always taking the risk getting somebody from abroad and hoping they're going to be amazing.
Lo Celso, of course, playing for the Argentine national team as well. So he's been playing at that level as well. And Dombele as well, playing for the French national team and really getting into a very strong midfield there. So it shows you that I'm only looking for two or three, those sort of level players.
Yeah.
And then the rest, maybe guys like Ryan Sessegnon. So.
Well, we could debate the potential arrivals and departures in the Spurs playing squad till we're blue in the face, but the one future that really matters is that of Mauricio Pochettino, and we'll be doing that in just a moment.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and Jamie Brown and Grant Sachs of The Last Word on Spurs. Pochettino has got a good few years to run on his contract, but does he deserve a new deal?
Of course he does. I mean, this is now a massive, massive summer at Spurs. We kind of feel as though we have reached a crossroads in terms of there needs to now be upgrades in the team. We kind of maybe need to repurpose the team. And that's got to be through the transfer window and going and signing the right players. And it's really now about Daniel Levy matching Pochettino's ambition and offering him the sort of funds that he needs to go and push on. I mean, yeah, look, if he wasn't, I don't feel as though the squad now, well, currently, is certainly capable of matching what we've done this year.
Yeah, I like what you said earlier, Joe, with the version of the 2.0. This is, again, Pochettino has created this team from where it was, from the likes of having Cabal at centre-half and getting rid of Etienne, Capoue, and then and then bringing in, obviously, the Rolls-Royce of Toby, etc. He's got this team now in front of him. Whether we'll hang on to the, obviously, the two main ones like Christian and Toby, Pochettino now has got the base to go and improve this team and bring in the big, big players this summer to then move us on to this next level. Again, we don't want this Champions League, what he was in last week, to be a one-off. We want this to be an occurring occasion. We want to be in and around the semi-finals, the final. This doesn't want to be the end. And Pochettino, we believe, is the man to take us forward and do that.
We certainly can't be scared of maybe losing these key players as well, because at the end of the day, we haven't won anything.
No,
so it's the case of we've just got to be brave now and go and maybe and get these players that, you know, there's going to be high risk paying 60 odd million pounds for a player, but if that's the sort of guy that's going to push us on, I think we've got to be brave.
Is there an argument of giving him a deal just as a gesture to the players, to the likes of Toby, saying we're serious about him, he's staying, let's get on with it?
Well, with players like, for example, like Christian Eriksen, do you just give him another couple of years and again be in the same boat again in 2 years? I mean, it's one of them ones. Same with, we want these players not to just hang on to for an extra, we want him to stay.
Yeah.
And the same with Maurizio. Again, I think the majority of Tottenham fans see the vision as him as our manager to guide us through his famous time as being a Tottenham fan. And again, we want to hold on to these boys as much as we possibly can.
I think it always seems to be the case as well. Any time a massive job comes up, it's always Pochettino that's linked with him.
And he's
only just signed he signed a contract last summer. So, you know, and it certainly hasn't done anything in getting rid of the links to away.
No, not at all.
I don't think it's a case of needing to do that. It's just about going and showing him that we're capable of now matching his ambitions.
How long do you see Pochettino staying at the club?
See, look, if we go into next year and we haven't won a trophy, I mean, you do get to the point where it's like, you know, when are we actually going to do it? But do you know what? I really, really believe that next season we will win something. Pochettino is just a fantastic, fantastic coach. And that's the thing about the final. I thought that Jurgen Klopp and Mauricio Pochettino, they're two fantastic managers.
Yeah.
And of course, they hadn't won anything. And I thought the sort of disrespect they got for not winning anything was just so unfair. So as much as people are going to hate me saying that, I was quite pleased to see Jurgen Klopp win a trophy because, you know, I felt the same with Poch. You know, I really hate the way he was disrespected.
It's true.
And I do, as I go back to what I was saying, I do believe that next year is going to be the year that we do finally win a trophy. But, yeah.
I was going to say myself, just if obviously someone like Maurizio, I think any Tottenham fan would say, just due to how much the guy has done for the club and what he's done to bring the fans together, we want to see him with a trophy. Whether he's at us for the next 2 years, 3 years, I think we'll always be wildly, wildly respect him. We'd love to see him lift any trophy for Tottenham, as long as it's one of the major ones. That's correct. That's right, absolutely.
If you offer Pochettino a new deal, is he necessarily going to sign it?
Well, look, it's about, I think now, one thing that we should have learned is getting deals done early. I think that we can't let other clubs get involved, and we've got to make sure that we do get that business done early to make sure to kind of settle nerves, because we're now at a point where I'm looking at it and I need a sign that Spurs are going to really go and try and push on from this now. As I said multiple times, this is a massive building block to build upon.
Yeah.
And we've got to go and do it early. And yeah, I think it's about getting that business done early and convincing everyone the supporters, the players, and the start coaching staff that we are serious now about building on it.
I mean, this is the next step. We've made a Champions League final, we didn't win it, but this is the next step for us now. So how much we really, really want it, and again, how much Daniel really, really wants it for the club to go out and make a statement.
I think he'll be. Daniel Levy is a sensible. You know, he's very sensible.
He loves Tottenham, absolutely.
And he's certainly got the best interest in heart. It really just frustrates me to hell that he gets the criticism that he does. I mean, the stuff that he's delivered us is just fantastic in terms of the infrastructure. So we're certainly a club that's capable of now staying where we are. We've just now got to go and show it off the pitch in terms of bringing in the right players.
You mentioned the parallels with Klopp there. Do you think that Poch and Klopp are adverts for clubs giving managers a bit more time?
Well, I say with Klopp, I mean, so he done very, very well in Germany. Again, he won the league in Germany, that's for sure, and he did get Dortmund to final. So it's very, very. I think that the criticism you get of managers nowadays can be very thick and very hard. Again, they're both very, very good young upcoming managers. I think have got very, very bright futures in the game. So it's a tough one for me.
It's always just overlooking Joe. I mean, in terms of what he has done just for the club in terms of building us up to where we are and competing on the pitch. You know, the likes of Arsenal, Manchester United, we absolutely just love it. You know, a manager that like Klopp or Pochettino at the helm. And it's just, whatever he does, I think that it's just, he's taken us so far and, yeah.
He's a great guy, and I think everyone knows that. At Tottenham, everybody, you can see how much he cares and how much he wants it. You could see in the tears when we made the final. He's a great guy, Pochettino, and that's for sure. He wears his heart on his sleeve for sure, absolutely.
We are still England 1, the Netherlands 0 in the semi-final of the Nations League. And a big change from a Spurs point of view is that Harry Kane was introduced at half-time, coming onto the pitch for Marcus Rashford. Can he change this game?
Well, we're one up. It'd be nice if he scores another for us, that'd be for sure. He can change it. Go on, Harry, go and score two more. That'd be great. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, look, he's got some fantastic players to work off in Sterling and Sancho, so there's certainly players around him. But look, he's you know, there's so much debate whether it was the right decision to start. He is the best, for me, he is the best number nine in the world, so he's certainly got the ability to change a game like this.
Once Harry Kane has retired and we find ourselves looking back on his career, where do you think he's going to rank amongst England greats?
I think we'll be up there definitely with his goals tally. I mean, I think he's got quite a good goals tally already for England, am I right? I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
I have no doubt about it. Harry will continue to score goals throughout his career. I'd love to think he'll be at us for a very, very long time, and if not his whole career. He'll do a very, very good job for England, I'm sure, in that aspect.
Yeah, look, such a hard... He's just the pinnacle of a proper, true professional. I mean, everything... Look, amazing how quickly he managed to get back from that injury. And then that's all down to his hard work. And that shows you how dedicated he is to the game. And that's why, you know, Liverpool supporters or Arsenal supporters saying that he was selfish doing that. You know, he's the main man. And, like, he's just such an excellent professional. Yeah. And just the ultimate role model. So
I myself was saying last week, obviously Harry, in my opinion, Harry shouldn't have started, and I still stand by that. But at the same time, any player if they're 90% fit, 60% fit, it's a Champions League final, he's going to want to play, and he'd only play for the right reasons, Harry, that's for sure.
Harry Kane has got 22 England goals in 37 caps. He needs roughly 30 more, slightly under 30, to break Wayne Rooney's record. Is he going to do it?
He'll do it. Go on, Harry will definitely do. Oh, Harry will do that. There you go. Harry Kane will do that record.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. I mean, it's obviously depending on as an athlete, I think he can certainly go for a very long time. You've got to worry slightly about that ankle. That might be the something that's going to hold him back in his career, but he's certainly got the potential to be able to go and score something.
I was going to say, it's the only thing with Harry, I love him to bits, but the only problem is when it comes to tackles, like, he really fights for every single ball, and he will not give up. And sometimes we do love him for that. I don't respect, we love you for that, Harry. But some of these injuries, I feel, could have been easily avoided if he didn't jump himself into crazy times or crazy tackles. But we love him for the right reason. We love you, Harry.
Surely it's good to see a player commit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great to see him completely 100% on the pitch, whether the ball's out in the corner and he's going for it or it's in the net. I think that's a great part of Harry's game. He gives it his all.
And finally, England 1-0 up in this semi-final of the Nations League. Can they get beyond Holland, and can they beat Portugal in the final?
Yeah, I certainly think they've got enough in the team. And look at some of the players you've got to come back, the likes of Dele Alli to come back in the team. You've, of course, got Harry Kane to start. So there's lots to be excited about. And then, of course, you're looking at the likes of Chilwell, Stones. So there's a lot of exciting of players in that team. So I think we
feel as if we've got our England back, regardless. We've got the excitement of the team. We've got such great young players coming through. It's not like the years of Sven. Everybody's getting a chance. There's no more Frank and Stevie in the middle. Everybody's getting a chance to prove themselves for this nation, which is great to see. And again, we've got a lot of potential in all areas of the field, for sure.
And another thing that's great to see is a lot of those England players are playing for Tottenham Hotspur. It's looking good for England. It's looking good for Spurs. And you'll have to look to join us next week on the Spurs Fan Show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
4th of July deals are on at Lowe's. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances, including the Samsung Bespoke French Door Refrigerator, featuring Beverage Center and Dual Ice Maker. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Now's the perfect time to upgrade your home with top Samsung appliances and hot 4th of July savings at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.